Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
Most of us are familiar with the phrase, out of order. Whether it is a vending machine, or whether it is a washing machine, we understand that when we see that sign, we need to be careful. We need to be cautious. We need to be aware that there is a problem that is causing that machine not to function properly or not to function at all. But that phrase, out of order, has a number of other meanings as well. Sometimes it can refer to the actions or to the behavior of an individual who does something or who says something that is offensive or inappropriate. Sometimes it can refer to a process that is not being performed properly, where the proper procedures are not being followed. And sometimes it can refer to a person or to a group of people who are just out of control. And it seems that in every sense of that phrase, the believers in the church in the city of Corinth were out of order in every area of their lives. They were not functioning properly. They were out of line with the Word of God. Their actions were offensive and inappropriate and sinful. There was confusion. Confusion in the church, confusion in their lives, and these issues seem to touch every aspect of their lives. They abused their freedom in Christ. They were selfish. They were self-centered. They were full of pride. They were full of arrogance. They misused the gifts that they had been given by the Spirit of God, gifts that had been given to them so that they might build up the believers in the assembly. But instead, they used those gifts to build up themselves. They were out of order. They were out of control. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Apostle Paul gives a word of caution, gives a word of caution to them, perhaps a word of caution to us as well. And so he begins in verse 20, and he says this. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, stop being like children in the selfishness of your thinking. Phren in Greek. Stop being unstable in your mind. Stop being unstable in your heart, tossed here and there by the breath of your opinions and by your emotions, by your feelings, and by your fleshly desires. Yet, dear brothers and sisters, in evil, kakia in Greek, in wickedness, seek to be like infants in the simplicity and in the purity of your devotion to Christ. And in your thinking, be mature, teleos in Greek. Be stable. Be well grounded in the truth of the Word of God. Stop doing what seems to be right in your own eyes. Remember those in the nation of Israel, those in the northern kingdom of Israel, those in the southern kingdom of Judah. Remember how the Lord warned all of them that because of their unbelief and because of their rebellion against him, judgment would fall upon them. And as we know, it came to the northern kingdom through the Assyrians, and that took place in the year of 722 BC. And it came upon the southern kingdom through the Babylonians, which took place in 586 BC. And we are reminded, Paul points out in verse 21, in the law of the Lord, in Isaiah chapter 28 and in Jeremiah chapter 5, where it is written, by men of strange tongues. That's a quote from Jeremiah 5 verse 15. Heteroglossos in Greek, by men of other languages, and by the lips of strangers, by the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people. It was a warning, wasn't it? Yes, it was a warning to the people that when they heard those foreign languages, languages that they did not understand, then they would know that judgment was about to come upon them. But even so, we're told in Isaiah 28 verse 12, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. And that is the way that it happened. They did not heed that warning, and so they were carried off into captivity. And on the day of Pentecost, we're told in Acts chapter 2, those from the nation of Israel who were visiting Jerusalem from other lands and heard the followers of Jesus and heard him speaking in strange tongues. They heard him speaking in foreign languages. What should they have known? Well, they should have known that judgment was about to come upon them. So then, Paul concludes in verse 22, tongues, those foreign languages that you hear being spoken in the church in Corinth are for a sign. Semeion in Greek. They are a warning from God. A warning, he says, not to those who believe, but they're a warning to unbelievers. They are a warning to the people from the nation of Israel. A warning? Yes, a warning of coming judgment, judgment that was about to come upon them. And in 70 AD, some 15 years or so after Paul wrote this letter of 1 Corinthians, the temple and the city of Jerusalem were destroyed by the Romans, and hundreds, thousands, and thousands of people were slaughtered. The Romans were another nation who spoke in a strange tongue, who spoke in a foreign language. It was judgment. Judgment which came upon the nation of Israel. Why? For rejecting their Messiah. For rejecting Christ Jesus, the sinless Son of God. As we are told all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 28, where it says, as the eagle swoops down from the sky, in the same way the Lord will bring down a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, a nation whose language you will not understand. Think about it. In each of those cases, Those foreign languages were a warning. They were a warning of judgment, a warning that the people did not believe. But prophecy, Paul says in verse 22, on the other hand, is given not to unbelievers, but prophecy, prophetia in Greek, the explanation of the truth of the word of God and its application to our lives. Well, that is given to those who do believe, who believe the truth of the word of God, to those who belong to Jesus Christ. And it is given in a clear and in an understandable and an accurate way. When it is given like that, it will accomplish the purpose of God. It will build up and it will edify the people in the church. But picture this, Paul says in verse 23. What if the whole church assembles together and they assemble for worship and for fellowship and for the preaching of the word of God? And all of the people begin to speak in unknown tongues, in foreign languages. And then ungifted men, idiotes in Greek, unlearned men, and even unbelievers. What if they enter your assembly on that day and they hear everybody speaking at the same time in languages that they do not understand? What will be the result? Paul tells us. He says, will they not say that you are mad? My nomai in Greek. That you are out of order? That you are in a frenzied rage? That you are out of your mind? The effect would be disastrous, wouldn't it? And the effect would be meaningless for them. For they would perceive that it was just another pagan ritual. But on the other hand, Paul adds in verse 24, if all prophesy and speak the truth of the word of God, and then an unbeliever or an ungifted man enters your assembly, what will be the result? He says, then he will be convicted. He'll be convicted by all. Elecho in Greek, the truth will be exposed. He'll be convicted of his sin. He will be convicted of his guilt. He'll be convicted by God. His sin will be exposed. And he will be called to account. Anakrino. He will be called to justify his condition. His true spiritual condition will be revealed. It'll be revealed by God. Because all of the secrets, it says, kryptos, all of the hidden things of his heart, the things that only he knows, they will all be disclosed to him. Phaneros in Greek. They will be made clear to him by the Spirit of God, through the faithful preaching of the word of God. And so, the result will be this, Paul says in verse 25. He will fall on his face, with his face to the ground, in fear and in trembling and in repentance. And he will worship God, declaring that certainly God is among you. The most powerful statement that the church can make is not social. The most powerful statement is the clear and the accurate proclamation of the truth of the word of God, which can lead people to salvation in Christ and which can build them up in their faith. That is the business of the church. Well, So what then is the practical outcome of all of this? Well, Paul says in verse 26, brothers and sisters, he said, let me ask you this. Let me present this to you. And here it is. When you assemble together as a church, what's going on? He says there's confusion among you, isn't there? You're out of order. You're out of control. Because each one of you has a song. And there are a number of you singing all of those hymns all at the same time. Oh yes, and some of you have a teaching. So you stand up and you begin sharing what you believe that the Lord has given you from his word, seeking to instruct the people. Oh, and then there are others. They begin speaking because they believe they've been given a revelation, an unveiling of the truth from God. And still others begin speaking in a tongue, in an unknown language, or in a foreign language. Then others stand up and begin to articulate the interpretation, the translation of that language. Does that sound like confusion? Paul says all of this is going on all at the same time. There's no order. So let me suggest this to you, he says. Let me give you this advice. Let me give you this advice for the church in the city of Corinth, that it may guide you in your time together. So he simply says, let all things be done for edification. Oikodome in Greek. In order to build up, in order to encourage, in order to promote spiritual growth and character among those who are in the body of Christ. Good advice. And perhaps there's a lesson for us. Perhaps there's a lesson for the church today that we need to ask ourselves, is that what we're doing when we come together as a church? But that's not what was taking place in the church in Corinth. And so Paul tells them in verse 27, if anyone among you publicly speaks in a tongue, in an unknown language, in a foreign language, here's how it should be done. It should be done by two, or at the most, three people. And each one should speak in turn, kai ana meros in Greek, one at a time. And then, he says, let one person interpret what just has been spoken by those two or three people. Di ermenuo in Greek. Let him alone thoroughly explain those words that have been spoken by these people. But, Paul adds, verse 28, if there is no interpreter there on that day, apparently they knew who it was who could interpret those languages. He said, but if that person's not there, if no one's there to interpret it, it says, let him who would speak in that unknown tongue, let him keep silent in the church. We are responsible for our own actions. We are responsible for our own behavior. We are responsible for order in the church. And so Paul says, let him speak to himself. Let him meditate on these things before God. Let him pray silently. Let him speak to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord, because you know, sometimes our silence speaks more eloquently in praise and in honor than all of our words could ever speak as we give glory and honor to the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell. pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.